Okay, well, Britain in a moment. Now, I mentioned in passing before about how the debate around tax has now shifted the debate to the NDIS, and that's because the deal was done, that Labor gave the Greens a longer process to investigate those reforms. But to me, I think the best outcome in terms of the NDIS, we should never lose sight of what the shape of the Parliament is now, not trying to second-guess how to look after the next election. And right now, the two major parties in the Parliament, the Labor Party and the Coalition, and I think the best outcome for an issue like this is that those two parties get together and come up with something that is sustainable and viable. The Greens, the risk there is that certainly in the eyes of some, you would go back to the point where it was at risk. You might allow the exploitations to happen again, the overspend would happen again, and then the whole system could again be at risk. Whereas I think if it comes to that and it really does become messy, Labor should really have a talk to the Coalition, a serious talk to them about it.
I actually agree with you, and I think not only would it be a good policy outcome, I actually think it might restore some faith in the two-party system. Now, I know that sounds very Pollyanna, but I can tell you from the focus groups...
And that's in both yep. parties' interests.
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you in the focus groups, that is something that is frustrating them enormously, and it is pushing... You know, around a fifth of One Nation voters have gone to them purely because of the two-party system, the uniparty, as Corey Bernardi and others call it, and its perceived failures. So an outcome where they work together and put politics aside is actually what the voters have a real appetite for. And it comes back to COVID, which, you know, there'll be books written about COVID for decades and decades to come. But one of the things that's still brought up, which I think is really interesting, is voters have seen governments working together, state and federal and cross-partisan. So when the crisis was really at its teeth, you know, JobKeeper came up. It was within 48 hours it was operational and people had money in their accounts. And so voters have seen what can happen if political parties really want better outcomes for Australia in a crisis. And they look back on that, and that is one of the many reasons why One Nation has surged, is because they sort of say, well, you can do it. So don't tell me you can't. Mm. And I want to see more of that.
Now, there was a rather extraordinary development in Victorian politics during the week. Take us through that.
Yeah, so the extraordinary claims this week about a community event, a Macedonian function, that both Matthew Guy, former opposition leader, and Moira Deeming were at, who's a Liberal MP for the Western Suburbs. And she claimed that Matthew put her in a headlock-type grip. However, fortunately for Matthew, CCTV footage caught the incident, which everybody has reached the same conclusion that there was no headlock or any sort of force, physical force at all. But what it does come down to is the instability in the Liberal Party and what that means for their preparations for the election. And once again, politicians talking about themselves.
Yeah, and what are they going to do about it? What are they going to do about Moira Deeming? Because look, Jess Wilson, it's true. Like, it's been operating really well. She's putting the party in a position, if the party behaves itself, where they can contest the next election. Serious chance of winning it. And something like this is going to come out of the blue. And these are not the kind of things that you can just brush away and then they won't recur. They'll come back. They'll keep coming back.
Yeah.
And you know, she's got friends outside of Victoria as well, influential friends in the Liberal Party.
Yeah. The Victorian Liberal Party, you know, they can't just expect Jess Wilson, who's a good political product, to do all the heavy lifting and to get him elected. You know, it's like kicking the ball to Nick Dacos and expecting him to do all the work. They all actually need to chip in. They all need to be disciplined, mm-hmm. and they all need to be working together, because there's an indefinable something in political campaigns. We talk about polling and who issues management, who's the best on certain issues and the salience of issues and differentiated positions. All these things are very valid. But there is also this other element, which is where the opposition are determined to win and will do anything to win. That discipline that you see that lacks in a lot of immature or first-term oppositions, because they're not really hungry. And, you know, the classic example is Kevin Rudd when he became opposition leader, and they adopted a position on offshore processing, which sent a message that actually they want to win And there would have been people from the left caucus who would have opposed that enormously, but they knew that if they wanted to win, they had to suck it up.
Yeah. Okay, Britain now, and you mentioned it a little earlier, but you have that the scourge of the rotating leadership. 5-year terms in the UK, you wouldn't think you would have this kind of situation, but they've had 7 prime ministers now in 10 years. Mm. That's quite extraordinary.
Yeah. In the UK's defence, one of them was Liz Truss. I don't think you can blame voters or anyone else for that disaster. Boris was obviously a fairly flawed character, but again, he had a huge majority and lost internal and external support, and the same is said of Keir Starmer. Voters and party members love a winner, and certainly Burnham is a winner at the moment. But I think he's going to have the same problems that Keir Starmer had, because voters want change, and Keir Starmer wasn't the change they wanted. I'm not sure what Burnham brings to the table which will bring about that change. He's certainly a different-looking politician.
Very good communicator.
Yep. But
he's proved himself that he can get the votes where Labor needs it, basically in their own base, in the working-class base that seems to have deserted them in other places.
Yeah, I think what you'll find is some of those reform voters that previously voted for Labor will come back in the hope that he is the change they were looking for. But I think unless they, we talk about mood direction, and in the last poll that we did for the Finn Review, 63% of Australians said we're heading in the wrong direction. One of the credible pollsters over there, Luke Trill, he has it at 75% wrong direction. Three-quarters of people in the UK say the country's heading in the wrong direction.
Yeah, and a lot of those are the working-class people who think that Labor doesn't recognise them anymore. And that's part of the risk of them for them, is that this Tony Blair's ongoing influence needs to be resisted, because he had this brand of kind of merchandise politics. Mm. It was bereft of conscience. It was academic and kind of uncaring. And that's... I think there's the lessons there for Labor in Australia around that as well, because Tony Blair still has some support despite what he's doing with Donald Trump. On Nigel Farage too, I just wonder whether they're ready for a bit of a setback given the attention that's now coming on the money that Nigel Farage received from a Thai crypto billionaire just before he went into politics. £5 million.
10 million Australian.
10 million Australian. He said it was basically there to take care of his security for the rest of his life. It just happened, though, that he bought a house worth £1.4 million sometime shortly after that. Mm. It wouldn't take too many issues like that to set them back a bit.
There might be a lesson there for Pauline Hanson here in Australia.
Yep, there might be. She got the aeroplane, after all, but to this point, that doesn't seem to have had anything like that.
No, but there'll be a tipping point, I think, on that particular perception.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to finish up with an email. Will from California is somebody that those who listen to our program regularly don't know that he's a regular correspondent, Will from California, but his brother Chris has chipped in this week. He said that he's used part of our program specifically on migration with his Year 10 history class. He was impressed by your observation some time ago that the political landscape is fractured and operates in smaller and smaller echo chambers. Mm. And that's certainly the case and remains the case. He raised other points, but I will finish up with this. He said that my wife is a first-generation Australian Chinese. She grew up in Rosebud. When she and my kids give me a huge cuddle at the end of the day, it's the best feeling in the world. And to me, that's what it means to be swamped by Asians. Just nice touch. Well, that's it for this week. This podcast was made on the sovereign lands of the Wurundjeri people. It was produced by Daniel Simo and Sarah Samage.
The executive producer is Hannah Parks.
I'm Barry Cassidy.
And I'm Tony Barry. This is Back to Back Barry's at Guardian Australia podcast.
In a world of need, we need medical care. Without delay.
Delays.
Without bias. Without bureaucracy. Without prejudice. Without violence.
Civilians are not expendable.
Without apathy. Without division.
Division.
That's why we need Doctors Without Borders. Save lives at msf.org.au.
Full Story is supported by EY Parthenon. EY Parthenon is the global strategy consulting practice of EY, working with CEOs, boards, investors, and governments on their most critical decisions. They bring deep sector expertise, an investor mindset, and advanced technology to bring clarity to complex challenges. EY Parthenon helps leaders make better decisions in moments of change, anticipating what's next, finding opportunity in uncertainty, and translating complex shifts into real-world outcomes, turning insight into action. For more insights, go to ey.com/au/Parthenon. EY Parthenon, transformative strategy and transactions. Solutions that work in practice, not just on paper.